chapter 4. I'm going to go back and read some verses that we've already read. Tonight, our focus is going to be on the first two verses of chapter 5. So let's begin by reading Ezra chapter 4, verses 1 to 5. When the enemies of Judah and Benjamin heard that the exiles were building a temple for the Lord, the God of Israel, they came to Zerubbabel and to the heads of the families and said, "Let us help you build, because like you we seek your God and have been sacrificing to him since the time of Esarhaddon, king of Assyria, who brought us here." So Zerubbabel, Jeshua, and the rest of the heads of the families of Israel answered, "You have no part with us in building a temple to our God. We alone will build it for the Lord, the God of Israel, as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, commanded us." Then the peoples around them set out to discourage the people of Judah and make them afraid to go on building. They hired counselors to work against them and frustrate their plans during the entire reign of Cyrus, king of Persia, and down to the reign of Darius, king of Persia. Then turning over to verse 24, Ezra chapter 4. "Thus the work of the house of God in Jerusalem came to a standstill until the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. Now Haggai the prophet, Zechariah the prophet, a descendant of Iddo, prophesied to the Jews in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel who was over them. Then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, son of Jozadak, set to work to rebuild the house of God in Jerusalem. And the prophets of God were with them, helping them." Well, it's exciting to read what God did all those years ago amongst his people. Shall we stand and sing one more time before we look into God's word together? Number 550, Lamb of our Lord. I am mindful that on a Sunday, I have the responsibility of unleashing an incredible power. And I'm referring to the Word of God. C.H. Spurgeon, the great 19th century preacher, likened the Word of God to a lion, and was only too pleased to let the lion loose. I believe that the Word of God has the power to save precious souls. Let me read you a story that I came across this week. Many years ago, in a Moscow theatre, matinee idol Alexander Rostovtsev was converted while playing the role of Jesus in a sacrilegious play entitled Christ in a Tuxedo. He was supposed to read two verses from the Sermon on the Mount, remove his gown, and cry out, "Give me my tuxedo and top hat." But as he read the words, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted," he began to tremble. Instead of following the script, he kept reading from Matthew 5, ignoring the coughs, calls, and foot stamping of his fellow actors. Finally, recalling a verse he had learned in his childhood in a Russian Orthodox church, he cried, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Before the curtain could be lowered, Rostov Zev had trusted Jesus Christ as his involved in a sacrilegious play, reads a few verses from the Word of God and is converted there and then. What a lovely story. I'm convinced that the Word of God has the power to save. I'm also convinced that the Word of God has the power to change and transform the lives of God's people. I'm convinced that it has the power to change your life and my life, even this evening. Consider what Paul says in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Friends, it's good for us to read the Bible every single day, so that it is able to do its work in our lives, so that we become the people that God would have us be. Don't you find that the Bible makes such a difference in your life? I find that it makes such a difference in my own life. It's such a blessing to me. It's a book that addresses our worldliness, our apathy, our discouragement. It's a book that gives us hope. It's a book that gives us a vision for the work of God. It's a book that keeps us going, isn't it? This evening we're going to look at the first two verses in Ezra chapter 5. And in these two verses we see that the Word of God came to His people. His Word addressed them. They had begun, you see, to put themselves first. They were people that had neglected the things of God. They had neglected the work of the temple. How the word of the Lord needed to come to these people in order to address their priorities in life and encourage them and envision them once again for the rebuilding of the temple and the glory. I've got three headings to help us look at these two verses. Firstly, the situation. Secondly, the remedy. And thirdly, the result. The situation, the remedy, the result. So firstly, let's think about the situation. They were keen Christians. Are you passionate about the work of God? Do you desire to see the work of God prosper, not only here in Rocket Hill, but across our land and indeed around our world today? Are you so keen that it is your desire to work as hard as you possibly can in order to play your part? If that is you this evening, then I think you would have been desperately discouraged if you had lived between verse 24 of chapter 4 and the events of verses 1 and 2 of chapter 5. Extremely discouraged. We've talked about discouragement before, and of course discouragement is a terrible thing, and it can be so debilitating. It can cause pastors to say that they're never going to preach again on a Sunday evening. It can cause Sunday school teachers to say, that's it, I can't cope with these children anymore. It can cause open air preachers to say, that's the last time. Nobody ever seems to listen. Well, this was a really discouraging time, because the work on the temple of God had come to a standstill due to the endless opposition of those Samaritan folk. Do you remember what we read back in chapter 4 and verses 4 and 5, let's read those verses again. Then the peoples around them set out to discourage the people of Judah and make them afraid to go on building. They hired counselors to work against them and frustrate their plans during the entire reign of Cyrus, king of Persia, and down to the reign of Darius, king of Persia. And last week we spent time looking at a letter that was written to King Artaxerxes. Now, it was a letter that was written sometime after the events that we're thinking about tonight, but it provides us with an example of the kind of opposition that these people faced or met with as they sought to rebuild the temple of God. They stopped work on this structure that was supposed to be erected to the glory of God. And sadly, idleness or laziness with regard to the things of God had set in. Moreover, the people of God had become increasingly concerned about themselves. The book of Haggai tells us that they became more concerned about their homes than the temple of God. Their comforts, their luxuries. To be precise, their paneled homes. The book of Haggai also tells us that they became more concerned about their work, their fields, their crops, their harvests. We all know what a great temptation materialism can be. And I think that we need to be very aware in the Western world of materialism. One commentator has said this, particularly helpful, worldliness has an enchanting attraction. That's so true, isn't it? Bolt after bolt, he goes on to say, of good resolutions, clamp after clamp of obedience to God are gradually pulled away from the Christian. The result is backsliding. So here was the situation. The people of God had ceased their work on the temple of God, and they were worrying about living in luxurious houses, worrying about spending more time in the fields in order that they might gain better harvests. We don't want to be quick to judge such people, but how sad. Friends, we must be careful that we do not end up neglecting the temple of God. I said before, and some of you will remember me saying this, that the reason we have been left here upon the earth is that we take the gospel. We could be worshipping God a lot better if we were taken straight to heaven. There's no sin that mars God's people's worship in heaven. We haven't been taken there yet because God still has a work for us to do. He wants us to witness to our friends, to our neighbors, to our colleagues, to the world, so that they might become precious stones in the temple of God. We shouldn't neglect the temple. And that means, I would argue, that we shouldn't neglect our own spiritual well-being and growth, because we are part of the temple of God. It's so easy, isn't it? I find this, perhaps just as much as you, to get sucked into the things of this world. May God help us. Well, we're seeing the situation. Let's think about the remedy. What was the remedy? How was God going to get these spiritually lazy, worldly-minded people of his working on the temple again? Well, the answer was simple, by speaking to them. It wasn't any more complicated than that. The remedy was the word of God. we see here in these verses that God raised up two prophets. Haggai and Zechariah, who were given the responsibility of proclaiming the word of God and addressing the minds and hearts of his people. Now, although both these prophets conveyed the word of God faithfully, they both had a different emphasis. I don't want to overemphasize this, but Haggai, by and large, rebuked and challenged the people's lethargy and worldliness. Let me give you an example from the book of Haggai, Haggai 1, 3 and 4. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai, "Is it time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains in ruin?" Zechariah, on the other hand, provided the people with God's vision for his temple, conveying God's desire to dwell among them once it had been completed. So let me read a few verses to you from the book of Zechariah. "Then the angel who was speaking to me said, 'Proclaim this word. This is what the Lord Almighty says: I am very jealous for Jerusalem and Zion.'" In other words, God was expressing his concern to see all that went on in Jerusalem a success. "Shout and be glad, Zechariah 2:10, daughter Zion, for I am coming, and I will live among you," says the Lord. And on, in other words, to build this temple. "For it is my desire to live among you as a people." Zechariah provided the people with God's vision for his temple to be built, along with his desire to live among his people once it had been completed. What is clear is that both prophets sought to address the hearts of God's people, because that is exactly where the problem existed. You see, once the hearts of these people had been addressed, once their hearts had been transformed, reformed, or changed, whatever word you like, then the problems could be faced. You see, the problems weren't going to go away. There was still going to be opposition to the work. There was still going to be lots of hard work, back-breaking work that needed to be done. The problems weren't going to go away. But the problems couldn't be faced until their hearts had been addressed, until their hearts had been changed. Friends, I'm convinced that the Word of God is able to cut deep and address the problems that exist in our hearts too. The writer of Hebrews says this: "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." Expect God to deal with you when you're reading the scripture. Expect to come into church on a Sunday and for the word of God to cut you to the heart. I think I have told you before how that when I was at Bible college, after spending time in the word of God, there were students that were in tears because problems in their lives were addressed. They were cut to the heart by the word of God. We should expect that. I want to spend a few moments, if I may, emphasizing what the Word of God is able to do in our lives. I've already emphasized that it's able to address our hearts. But let me go on and say a few other things. It's also able to renew our minds. Romans 12, verse 2, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. It's also able to direct our paths. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light for my path. God's word is also able to encourage us to go on serving the Lord. Listen to what Haggai said to Zerubbabel and Joshua, here spoken of as Jeshua and the people. Haggai 2, verses 4 and 5. But now be strong, Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord, and work, for I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. This is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. As I read that last sentence in my preparation this week, it reminded me of the words of Jesus to his apostles before he ascended into heaven. I'm with you. Right up until the end of the age. There's power in the Word of God. It can address our hearts. It can renew our minds. It can direct our paths. It can encourage us to go on serving the Lord. It can change us. It can bring about reformation in our lives. It can bring about reformation in our church. It can bring about reformation in our community. During the days of King Josiah, the book of the law was discovered. And it paved the way for all his reforms. I want to read from 2 Chronicles this evening. The reading is longer than something I can quote to you or read to you. So I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verses 29 to 33. I think it's worth reading, because it highlights the difference the Word of God made during the time of King Josiah. 2 Chronicles, chapter 34, starting to read at verse 29. Then the king called together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. He went up to the temple of the Lord with the people of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests and the Levites, all the people from the least to the greatest. He read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant, which had been found in the temple of the Lord. I always wondered incidentally where they found the book of the Lord. Was it sitting on a shelf collecting dust? Or was it found under a table? Or where was it found? Why hadn't anybody noticed it before? But wonderfully, anyway, it had been found. Verse 31, the king stood by his pillar and renewed the covenant in the presence of the Lord, to follow the Lord and keep his commands, statutes and decrees with all his heart and with all his soul, and to obey the words of the covenant written in this book. Then he had everyone in Jerusalem and Benjamin pledge themselves to it. The people of Jerusalem did this in accordance with the covenant of God, the God of their ancestors. Josiah removed all the detestable idols from all the territory belonging to the Israelites. And he had all who were present in Israel serve the Lord their God. As long as he lived, they did not fail to follow the Lord, the God of their ancestors. Oh, God has the power to reform. The Word of God brought about great reformation in the church during the time of Luther, and a bit later during the time of John Calvin. And the Word of God is bringing reformation around the world today in so many places, and it can continue to bring reformation here in our local church of Prophet Hill's Baptist. It can do it. as we allow the Word to do. As we give the Word of God the time to do its work. Just like what we read in Isaiah 55, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So my word goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Trusting that God, by his word, will change my life. I'm trusting that he will change your life, that he will bring about reformation in your life. Not to let it loose. Not to let the lion loose. Or to let it do its work, just as it did its work during the days of Haggai and Zechariah. Well, thirdly and lastly, this evening, let's think about the result. We consider the situation, we consider the remedy. Let's thirdly and lastly consider the result. What was the result of Haggai and Zechariah's ministry? What was the result of the word of God going forth? Well, look at verse 2. Then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, son of Jozadak, set to work to rebuild the house of God in Jerusalem. And the prophets of God were with them, helping. Maybe I can read also from the book of Haggai. Haggai 1 and verse 12. Then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the whole remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the message of the prophet Haggai, because the Lord their God had sent him, and the people feared the Lord. The word of God did its work. It will come to the heart. They recognized that things needed to change in their lives. They resolved to put the work of God first. The temple needed to be built. And so they went to work with great enthusiasm. And we see in verse 2 that Zerubbabel led the way. Zerubbabel was one of the people. He too was a Jew. In fact, he was the grandson of Jehoiachin, the next to last king of Judah. He was the most important man in Judah at this particular time because he had been made the governor of Judah by the Persian king. We also see that Joshua led the way. He was the son of the high priest, Jozadak. But if I'm honest, what I find particularly interesting is what we read right at the end of verse 2, and the prophets of God were with them helping them. Well, I can understand how they were with them, but I wonder how they helped them. I don't know for sure, I can only guess. Perhaps they stood at the side of the building site, offering words of encouragement, reassuring the people of God's promises. Or perhaps they rolled their sleeves up and put their working boots on and got stuck in and experienced lots of days of difficult and hard work. I'm not exactly sure what to make of the end of verse 2, but clearly the prophets of God were with them, helping them. And if you look down the page to verse 8, you will see that the work of the temple proceeded with great speed. The king should know that we went to the district of Judah, to the temple of the great God. The people are building it with large stones and placing the timbers in the walls. The work is being carried on with diligence and is making rapid progress under their direction. I want to finish this evening by saying that this local church, despite its faults, and I play my part in bringing various faults to the life and ministry of the church, has always sought to keep the Word of God central. And I hope that that continues until Jesus comes again. I really do, because I see that as being so vital, so fundamental to the well-being of the fellowship. Indeed, may the Word of God be given the opportunity to do its work of teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that each one of us might be thoroughly equipped for every good work. I've been here now just over 5 years, and over the last 5 years that I've been here, you have encouraged me in the preaching of God's Word. I am so thankful for that. May that encouragement continue, whether it's me or someone else endeavoring to teach the Word of God. Of course, we never really know what lies ahead. We're told in the Scriptures that preaching is sometimes in season and at other times out of season. Well, maybe there will come a time when preaching is very much out of season. Well, even if such a time comes, may the Word of God still be preached in this place. Indeed, may the Word of God be preached so that the Word of God is able to do its work. So that the temple of God might be built and his honor and glory and praise. That's right. Oh Lord, how we thank you for your word. We love to read it, we love to study it. That's why we're here this evening. We love to hear what you have got to say to us. Lord, we've seen what your word is able to do in our lives as we focused on this particular portion of scripture, and also, Lord, lots of other verses of scripture tonight. Lord, your word has led to our conversion. Your word has brought about transformation, change in our lives, and we thank you for that. We pray that week by week, as the Word of God is given its rightful place within our meetings, that we might change, that we might be renewed, that we might be challenged, be renewed and encouraged to go on serving you. Well, we don't want to point a finger at these people that served you so many years ago, but it does sadden us that they were overcome by discouragement, that the work on the temple came to an end. Oh Lord, may we never give up, despite the opposition, despite the discouragement that so easily seems to come our way. May we be encouraged by your word, strengthened by your word, so that we are enabled to carry on, and with enthusiasm. Lord, we want to play our part in your work. We want to be your instruments. You know, it's you that builds the house. Nothing that we really can do to save anybody. We're just instruments, but we want to be used. We want to be used this week. We want to be able to speak to those that we rub shoulders with. Please, Lord, provide us with those opportunities. Help us to give our time and attention to our own lives, recognizing that we are part of your temple. Help us not to neglect our walk with you. Help us not neglect those things that you would bless us with, such as fellowship, reading and studying of scripture, prayer, fellowship, so on and so forth. Lord, it is our desire to bring honor and glory to your holy name. Help us to do this, we pray. And we ask these things in Jesus' name for his Son.